Hi, welcome everyone to Rafflecast Uncut. Unfortunately, we had to cut the original show short because we had a comedy show to get to down at the, what was the name of the venue?
Arcadia Bar.
Arcadia Bar in Edmonton, Alberta. We had an awesome time. It was a really fantastic show. Who headlined the show?
Mike Dambra.
Mike Dambra headlined the show and absolutely destroyed. Maybe did three prepared jokes and the rest just shredded the audience. Made a girl cry and leave. Actually, you know what? He just cock-blocked Miklos tonight.
100% did.
Happened. So here's the story. So we're at this place. It's a vegan place, or a vegetarian place, not vegan.
They do vegan stuff too.
Okay, so they do go full faggot. In case anyone's curious, they do go straight faggot. But so there's a brown girl, a skinny brown girl, and a skinny white girl, all tied up, obviously, type of people that go to a vegetarian place, sitting in at the show, and the headliner starts ripping on them, and I don't know, remember how he addressed the brown girl at first. How did she come up?
Oh, she made fun of his, she was like, let's talk about your age.
So she made fun of his age. So what do you never do at a fucking comedy show? Make fun of the comedian. And especially the one who's doing all crowd work for the first 10 minutes of the show. That's the person you want to challenge? So, not, like, I honestly don't even think she was full brown, because that's really fucking dumb. That seems like a white person thing to do. That's how stupid that is. So when she got all upset because he was like, "Are we gonna talk about how your race now?" Because she mentioned his age, which is a perfectly fair lobby. Could I get a consensus here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ranting too much about the show. We'll get back into that. I'm gonna have everybody else introduce themselves. Mick, starting with you, buddy.
What's up? I'm Miklos Blackshaw.
Well, your torch vaporizer also has an audio recorder.
That's Gulliver Twist.
Thanks, Miklos.
I'm Kevin Albus. I hosted the show tonight. I did surprisingly good, so.
So we're hanging out the show after now, and it was really surprising. Have you guys seen people get that upset over very mild negging?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, tons of times.
Have you guys been the ones who've done it?
No.
No?
What do you mean over mild nagging? What was the question?
Well, I guess, like, maybe not mild. I've seen.
Have you seen someone get that upset? But your sets, maybe some crowd work you've done.
I was at a show. I was at a comedy competition in Kelowna, and when I first started, I had a lot of pauses, and every time I paused, this lady like cut in and tried to interrupt my jokes. So I didn't have a very good set. My buddy saw it, and he was like, "Don't worry, I got your back." Went up, spent his entire time just ripping on this chick.
Holy shit.
She ended up leaving, like, walking past us crying. She had two broken arms.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, later, hold on, story's not done. This guy comes up to us, and he's like, "Hey, you're the comedian that walked that chick, made her cry?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "That was my wife." And we were all like, "Oh, shit." And he was like, "Thank you for doing that." She was way out of line.
So, oh, man. Let's get some more depth to the story. What type of stuff was she saying during your set?
Well, before I used to do, like, with my deodorant joke, there's lots of pauses. I want to set up what the next thing is. I want you to, at the time, I wanted you to think about what I was going to say. And
are you comfortable sharing the joke now, or do you want to just say it?
Fuck,
it's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. I fucking hate the way that deodorant is marketed towards men. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ladies, it's because your deodorant smells like real fucking things. It smells like
baby powder.
Baby powder, vanilla, lilacs.
Actual flowers that exist in nature.
Right. But men's deodorant is all concept smells. Like, our deodorant smells like Smooth Blast. Dark Temptation,
Arctic Chill,
and the worst of them all, like, fucking Sport. Like, what even sport is it? You put it on, it's some kind of gamble. Like, please, please, please,
don't be lacrosse.
Not hockey. You're like, please, 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 women's gymnastics. I just really want to smell like a pommel horse, you know.
The thing about tonight was so Dambra's sitting in the back. Dambra's headlining, and throughout the show, they're very, very beautiful ladies. That were the two girls that were talking.
Let's not be crazy. Only one of them was white.
Okay, one of them. One of them was a trap. But throughout the show, Dambra's watching. So it's like, it's cool to see him be like, almost like, not a vulture, or almost got like a vulture, just kind of like just swarming around, just kind of watching and keeping an eye on things. And
that other schlumpy gentleman did the same thing. He mentioned that about watching the audience during the sets.
Mark Nesbitt, yeah. No, yeah. He did very good tonight. It's really cool to see people just like, just say fuck the material and just kind of look in the crowd and just start talking to them.
So. Is that something you guys do in your own comedy?
Only when I host and then when I run out of material. And then I got like 4 or 3 minutes left. I'm like, well, let's stretch this out and talk to some people. It's usually shit, but like, you might get something out of it. It's very,
There, it's a talent. I mean, if the people who do it, like Dambra and Adam Blank, does really well. What happens is they want to try and like get the crowd into.
Yeah,
into it. Like not even that. They're guiding them. They want them to say something, mm-hmm. right? They want a reaction, and they kind of know where they want to push it.
Yeah.
So they already have a response ready to go.
I was asked that. I was like, what's another good way? And he's like, by repeating what they said and taking a couple of seconds. Because that usually helps. Because a lot of times they say something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But then you just rattle off in your head and something kind of snaps. It can be
and
shitty.
And a good thing about that, too, is that you get the rest of the crowd in on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's all in the group. No one's left out.
Do you think you can go by in comedy without developing that skill?
I've seen... Well, definitely.
You can just come out and be a performer, walk on stage, have your prepared jokes, and get out.
Yeah, 100%.
What about respond to the crowd when you're getting heckled or someone interrupts?
Usually, if it happens, there's better ways to get out of it. It's just to sometimes be, like, snappy. Like, shut it down in, like, a couple of words. And then, once it's shut down, you just continue with what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like, I've been heckled a bunch in that way.
Yeah, no, I think it's possible to get by just as a performer. I mean, I'm basing that, I mean, aside from just anecdotally, because, like, crowd work isn't one of my forte, so I might be biased on that. But I also feel like I've seen other specials of people where they are just getting by on just their performance. I mean, like, with me...
Kevin Hart. We were talking about him earlier.
So, like, with... And I can't even think of examples. I just feel like I've seen it in, like, specials before. I mean, like, my approach has tended to be in the past. I mean, I have some things kind of in my pocket I can whip out. But I feel like if I'm not going to engage with them, I will at least pretend like I didn't hear them and just try and not lose my confidence. And then I feel like, in general, if a performer is just, like, strong and has good stuff that other people are there to listen to, it will just become obvious within the audience that they are this person is being disruptive, and that will be kind of, you know, self-sabotaging for them, you know, perhaps.
Touch on what he said about, like, comedy specials. I don't think I can think of one comedy special where the guy interacted with the crowd the whole time. Except for maybe, like, Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr is right? really good at that, yeah.
Right, so he's got, like...
It's always last 20 minutes of the show.
You always have to have, like, one... It's got to be one strong thing. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to have all material. Like, why are people coming? Just to watch you every time? Like, you have to... For a special, right? You would think that anyone who's going to do that, they want to...
Well, do something special. Do something out of the ordinary, I guess.
Well, I mean, like, have material prepared. Imagine if, like, a guy did, like, two or three comedy specials, just him making fun of the audience.
Well, we've seen that with people. There's certain people that will just riff off the audience. Yeah. Mike Epps would do that. Even Dice Man, when Andrew Clay was doing Dice Man, he would just go into Dice Man mode and start ripping on the audience, and that's how he got famous.
Yeah, but so he doesn't have like a bunch of TV specials and stuff.
He does. Andrew Clay doesn't have TV specials. First person to sell at the Madison Square Garden. Come on, man.
Google one of his specials right now. That
HBO, Showtime twice.
I guess.
That's big. HBO back then was big.
Yeah, it was.
If there's one thing to learn about, like, handling hecklers, I think the best material you get out of it is by going to roasts. I try and keep mine generic, so it's like...
You can use it on anybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, how do you handle an instance like we saw with this young lady in the audience where he made a reference to her... She's like, you want to talk about race? And he's like, it's not about you, it's the fight I had with the cabbie earlier.
Yeah.
These are pretty standard brown jokes.
Yeah.
There was two other brown people, including myself, in the place... And he was making Mexican jokes, too, and he offends both halves of me. But, you know, it didn't really bother me at all. And but she was in her phone, and she completely disconnected. Now, Gulliver, you come with fire. You're pretty fearless out there. You've got to offend people. You've had to have shut down people like that, or that have disconnected. You've triggered them. I mean, there's got to be someone in love with, like, Princess Diana or OJ or something,
I'll
right?
I'll say this. I've watched Gulliver walk tables.
Yeah, so what happens in that instance? How does that make you feel, and do you feel like you need to recover from the situation?
I just feel like I want to work on being funny. I mean, like, as far as the incidents is happening themselves, for me, just to have, like, to brainstorm on how to react to it happening is worth it even happening at all.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I've had a few things happen where... I remember, like, one time there was at this venue... Fuck, I always forget the name. It's such a hard name to remember.
McDonald's.
No, it's down on White. It's called Tavern on White. It's such a freaking weirdly unique name. I was like doing an open mic, and it's not a comedy thing. It's just like an open mic, and I went there, and I got to do it twice. And the second time I was there, this girl was just like being pretty disruptive. And I think the thing I said to her, I was like, hey, come on. Or the first time I said something, and then the next time I kind of like elevated a bit. I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't interrupt you when your dad's taking your tonsils out with his cock.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like, okay, after that they did ask me not to come back. But it was weird, like, after the show, she was like totally being like flirty with me and like kind of kissing me. So it was just like, okay. Whatever.
Some girls like being
it's fucking weird when that happens. That happened to me once at Ruth and Joey's place on 97 and like.
Oh, just by Kingsway?
Yeah, like closer to Nate. Like a sports
bar.
The
old comedy place.
Yeah, there was like a sports bar there, and it was
I went to Ertel Lounge.
No. This is a couple years ago. Maybe a year and a half ago.
The venue really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway. We've been spinning our wheels on this for a long time.
What matters was there was this chick and her friend, guy friend, and they were like, literally like me to Kevin away, and that's like front right seat to back left.
Yeah, that's great for the audio listeners at home.
Of this vehicle. So imagine a vehicle. That's how far away.
They don't have the context. They're not here with us. There's no video.
It doesn't matter. Just be in any car.
There's going to be 1,000 confused Quebecers.
I'm not wearing any clothes.
We're naked in the SUV right now.
Not very far away, and they were talking almost louder than I was on my mic. It was like a competition, so I just like started to make fun of them. She threatened to fucking beat me up, and then like she turned around and continue talking, so I nagged her again, and then she was like, I'm gonna kill you. And then the last time I was like, I have a joke called Rape Yellow. It's a smart joke, come out and see it sometime.
It is a really great joke. And part of Canada's heritage.
yes as well. There's a little bit of geography in there. So I asked her what her favorite color was, and she was like, well, it's not really a color, it's a shade. And I was like, fuck's sakes. And then I asked her, and it was like some kind of black, and I was like, oh, so like death, I get it. And she was like, just an anatomy. I was like, you want to know what my favorite color is? And she's like, what? I was like, rape yellow. And she's like, you want me to shove that microphone down your throat? So I ended my set with, like, I did a couple jokes and I ended my set. And then I was like, I've had a good time up here, but I'm going to take off and I'm going to hit on this chick some more. And then I didn't. I just, like, walked away. And she, like, came down and sat down with me and talked. She was super racist. Like,
oh,
unbelievably
shit.
Racist. And she gave me her number and I was like, yep, delete.
There's been instances where racist girls will fuck me purely for like the hate fuck, and they'll choke me and call me a nigger, and I'm like, this is the blackest I've ever felt in my life. This is great. And you can tell they're working on a lot of issues with their parents and shit. But the best part about it is knowing that like you never have to have that guilt about not calling them back.
Yeah.
Because like you're not gonna go to their family dinners. I mean, you're not serving, so what's the point of being there?
Whatever makes my dick feel bigger to you and sort your issues out. It's like two birds with one doctor.
We call it cock therapy. It's really a public service. Oh man. Okay, so let's spread this around one more time. What is the thing that you said that got people the most upset?
Okay.
Go.
Well, it sticks out to me the most. I was at the Mona Lisa pub, just like dive bar. Good friend of mine, Ruth and Joey, they were doing it. And it was just basically this Holocaust chunk that I was doing. And there was probably like maybe 5 different jokes. And as it started, one of the just like short little lady in the audience, I could see the expression like change and just kind of like very like immediately reactive. And then as I progressed, it was getting like more and more disgusted and just like loathsome. And then she like midway, she like got up out of her chair and was like approaching me. And I could see she was like starting to like cry. And she just like, and she was like, you're not allowed to say that stuff. Like, you can't say that stuff. And I was just like, I wasn't really I wasn't responding to her. I just like kept going because like other people were laughing. So I was just like, all right. And then that was pretty much.
You know what that woman's name was? It was Anne Frank.
No, that's who it was.
All right, man, your turn. Have I ever walked a confrontational crowd? Or?
Yeah, no. What was the thing that you said that made someone the most upset, and how did you handle it? And also, let's talk about how it made you guys feel, because it must throw you off your game and your cadence while you're up there trying to do a set.
You do, like, a dark joke, I guess, and then, like, you hear, like, the crowd reaction. You just hope for a big pop or a big bang, and whenever that doesn't happen, yeah. You can just make fun of the fact of, all right, well, I guess that didn't go nowhere. Everyone's pretty
Do you get off on the groans, though?
Well, just even the quick little, I guess that, just even that, people are like, ah, like, you know, they'll laugh that way, and then, you know, you go into the next one. The only ever confrontational part I've ever seen anyone ever get, and it's not during... It wasn't even during a dirty joke or a morbid joke. It was just during a crowd that was just way too fucking crazy and drunk. And, of course, this is happening in either Gibbons or Mournville, one of the two.
Yeah.
I think it was those Gibbons. Fucking Gibbons.
For those who don't know, we have a lot of international listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Those are cities in Alberta.
Small town.
Town.
Bar. Outside of Edmonton.
Yeah, there's not a lot of cities in Canada, but these are small towns in, like, what is that, middle Alberta? Like, southern Alberta?
Central Alberta. But we've had shows...
So it's like prairie town, yeah. For people wondering.
And we've had shows where, like, you know, it gets crazy where the really, really drunk guy, which at the beginning, you know, like, I'm just doing my thing, introducing the show, and he just makes himself known. And if you're able to take care of him and put the hold on him and make the whole table laugh at him, then you're in good hands. And it was Stephen McGovern who went up, probably like two or three comics after. And he's just doing his thing, probably talking about nothing. Just like McDonald's or something, just something generic.
He's not a very offensive comic.
No. And the drunk guy gets up, he's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking knock you out right now. And the fucking waitress, and then unfortunately me, I have to get in the middle. I'm like, oh, we're going to call the RCMP. We're going to call the cops if you continue. We're not fucking around here, man. Like, don't fuck this up, man. A lot of times it happens with not even a joke. It's just someone either being so inebriated or sober and so... So,
you never misinterpret someone.
Yeah, they misinterpret it like crazy. And,
but what's something you've done?
That I've done that? Nah. I mean, like, I don't know. I get, like, maybe a little bit of morbid jokes. Nowhere near as dangerous as Gulliver. Because Gulliver tells the fucking darkest jokes. Second would have to be, like, Miklos. Like, you guys do some risky shit.
Well, that's why I'm surprised by Gulliver's tactic. You almost steamroll it. Like, your first instinct is to ignore him and move on with your set. I'm surprised because I feel like someone as dark as you would want to, you're almost doing it to provoke people. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to tell me that they're going to kill me on Twitter. Like, I enjoy that. You know what I mean? I thought you might have felt the same way, but it doesn't see me feel that way.
I mean, I'm not really trying to provoke people. I realize that what I'm saying is provocative, just in its essence and just generally offensive. I mean, my intention is to be funny, and like I'm just trying to make art. So I.
But if you're to tell a joke, no one could honestly say that you're homophobic or racist or an asshole. And none of those. You're the nicest. It's so funny. You're the nicest comic.
I have dreadlocks, and Gulliver is the hippiest looking guy in this car.
So and it's interesting that you said that, because I mean I've had people. I mean this. I don't know if he still hosts the fucking Black Dog. It's guy Simon Gorsak. He was telling me, so I got blacklisted from there, and I was just kind of trying to ask what the reasons were. And there were basically like three reasons. One of them was that he was kind of, there was this joke he held over my head that was the stupidest fucking joke. I said, I think it'd be funny if they remade the original Baywatch series, but instead of the cast they used to have, it was all transgender members instead. And I said, starring Pamela Manderson. But I'm just like, stupid.
Yeah, that's so hacky.
Speaking of hacky jokes. Yeah. And then the other reason he said was he's seen people walk out during my sets, and he says, well, you either don't notice or don't care. Mm. But then the third reason that was kind of relates to this was that he said, I've seen you do the same jokes here that you also do in other venues, and they also don't work in the other places I see you do them. So from that, all I can infer is that you're intentionally trying to hurt people's feelings. And I said, okay, well, that seems like you might be making a bit of a judgment about my character. And he just kind of like shrugged and was like, okay, well, there's not really much of an opportunity for dialogue. So it's interesting what people will make ideas up about, you know, people's material. I've been thinking like recently, it's interesting, like I feel like if someone does material and it's just like, you know, squeaky clean and it doesn't go off and it doesn't go off well.
Let's give us an example of something great at home.
I have a joke.
Who's a weak, squeaky clean comedian that someone can compare this to?
Oh,
Jerry Seinfeld, let's say, for the sake of...
It's not a good example. He's one of the best comedians.
Oh, I'm not saying he isn't the best. I'm not saying squeaky clean.
He's not
clean.
Queen either, yeah.
well, let's say like jokes about mailboxes.
Gaffigan's squeaky clean.
Jay Leno.
Perfect. Oh, hold on. Jay Leno on the Tonight Show or whatever. Jay Leno's stand-up was not...
Yeah, but Jay Leno had the same act for 7 years at a time, so...
It was pretty dark.
Really?
In the early days, yeah.
Before he took...
Tonight Show.
But so I'm wondering if people do squeaky clean jokes and it doesn't go off well and it doesn't get a response. People just say, oh, he's not funny. But if people try and go from an angle that's, like, super offensive and dark and it's not funny, people don't think, oh, he's not funny. People might think, oh... Is he a bad person?
Yeah.
Maybe they are. I don't know who they are. Until you ask them, you probably don't have a great idea.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's just what I wonder if how people think sometimes.
But yeah. that doesn't dissuade you from doing it, though, right?
They kind of judge you based on the content of what you're... Sometimes the content, but they... You get judged on some words and stuff.
I wholeheartedly disagree. I think they judge specifically on the words.
No. Sometimes it's concepts.
Transgender, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But that's the word, too.
Or like, I did that rape yellow joke, and I follow it after with an observation I made about what happened with Daniel Tosh.
Yeah.
And that got one.
It'd be funny if you got raped right now.
Yeah, but you didn't even understand. It's like he was dealing with hecklers before that and he was making very smart rape jokes. Like, you know what's funny about it is there, you know, like women's loss of self-esteem and like yeah. but mocking it, not like
yeah, he's right? Like, "Oh yeah, it's really sexy." So it's, how a woman is like, cuz one guy said it's hot. How do you guys think about rape? He's like, "It's hot." He's like, "Oh yeah, it's real hot how a girl loses all her self-esteem."
Yeah, like
will to live.
Yeah, and stuff like that, right? He's mocking it, right? And then, so there's more to the story than what happened. Yeah. So I wrote a joke, and it compares, like, if you don't think rape is funny, you have to hate dolphins.
Yes.
So this chick in the crowd was like, "No, don't make fun of dolphins."
It was one of the mermaids. It was one of the mermaids picked up.
Fuck, man. I was like, what the hell? Like, if you're going to be offended at what I said, man, like, I guess. it's not a great comparison. Well, I thought it's a good comparison on the joke because dolphins rape and murder people.
Yeah.
Right, so if you don't like rape, you have to hate dolphins because they're worse.
They do murder for fun. That is true. I hate to cut the interview short. I gotta step out because I gotta work at, like, fucking 5 in the morning.
It's all good, man. Thank you for joining us. You want to plug your Twitter or anything?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Albus_K, and that's pretty much, I like Twitter. Fuck Facebook. Twitter's where it's at.
It's where it is. Cheers, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Good show. Thanks again for taking the pictures. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, 2 more questions. Let me come back.
Okay.
I just got to hit the 7 more minute mark. Because I can get my 30 minutes in. Is there anything that you guys are scared to talk about?
Race relations are real hard. I tried to do...
Well, we saw what happened tonight. Let's back up. How do you handle that situation?
Mostly, I don't know. I know Danver doesn't care. But in that kind of situation, sometimes, If it was me that it happened to, it's probably because there was a heckler, and I probably would say something fast just to shut them up.
Right.
I probably wouldn't go race. I tried to do a race relation joke once, because I had a nigga moment. So I was living in, and there's just a bunch of black guys and one other white guy. And, like, it happened, and it was going on, and I was thinking in my head, you know, Boondocks, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then... The other white guy screamed out about it, and then the guy who was happening to was like, "Damn straight, this is what's happening." And then he continued with it, and I was just like, "The logic, I don't understand." But also, it never happened to me, so I was like pretty scared. At the same time, I was like, "Whoa, what the?" Like, you don't know how to react in that kind of situation. And I was just trying to tell a story, and people were like on the border, like, "It was also a room full of black people." So, but it was like, you know, like you, it's hard to do it.
It's hard to prove that you're not racist.
I know I did a show at another, at a hookah lounge.
Yeah.
Not a different hookah lounge. That, yeah. And what had happened when we got there, there usually isn't a lot of people. And it was actually packed when we got there. And there's usually a spot for the comics to sit. And as a comedian, first of all, if there's no room to sit, I don't want you, I don't want to take your spot. Like, you're there for the show. So I brought that up, and I was like, but it was really, like, I feel conflicted, because one, I love having a place to sit and being able to, like, talk with comics, and then, but two,
they, are you vegans?
They moved a bunch of black people out of seats for a bunch of white guys.
Oh, no!
And the crowd loved it, because it was like, you know, like, I felt, I've conflicted about what's happening, right? Like,
and you, like, have to address that, though.
Yeah, right? Like, it's, sometimes you just have to address what's going on, and, I mean, if you have a, I find if a, if you're having an honest moment, the crowd has a better reaction to it than if, say, what happened with here with Danver tonight, where he just kind of immediately went for the low blow, right?
Not really, though.
But the she's thing,
like, you want to talk about age, like, well, you want, yeah, to talk, but, about,
but,
race?
But,
that's perfect.
But I don't think that that's what set her off. What I think set her off was that he, like, continued to pick on her.
He, I think he tried to bring it back, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like, keep in mind, the same person we're talking about
was, like, talking during the show.
During Chris's set, they were chatting, and I shushed. Wow. I shushed them.
They were very,
I,
loud.
Shushed them.
Yeah.
That same girl, like, the Mexican lady, she looks at me and says, "That's rude."
She's not Mexican. She's Indian, bro.
Same shit, different bowel.
But that shows you're not racist. Can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, I don't know if there's... It's weird, because in my head, if I'm going to say, okay, I'm not going to talk about a certain topic because these types of people might get upset. Mm-hmm. In my head, that process is almost... Like, if I'm doing that, I feel as though I'm relegating them in a sense, because I don't really perceive anyone to be not my equal.
Right.
It's all just like anyone...
So you're not punching down when you say that.
Right. I mean, like, well, it's just perspective. For some people, what's considered exclusive could actually be considered radically inclusive. Because it's like, who am I to assume that, oh, the person in the wheelchair in the front doesn't want to hear about a joke about a disability?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, maybe...
You're making the assumption on their behalf,
basically. Right, yeah. And which I don't, that's not really something I like to do.
So what? How would you handle this situation in particular? Let's say you said that, like, you heckled her. Let's say she said the sum of your age, she said race.
I know, I probably would have handled it like Danver. Would have just continued the show. Right? And then not talk to her, but continue. Like, Danver's whole thing is mostly to do that, right? So continue the show, go on how it is. It's hard to say how you would handle that, because I don't do comedy like that.
Right, you know what, but I mean? Like, you can say things that could put someone in a similar mindset.
And
right?
I mean, it happens. And, like, but I think the correct thing to do as a performer is to continue going on. It might not be great for them, but I'm saying this in a really weird way. The job of the comedian is to be the entertainment for the night. So if you stop being the entertainment and you address these things, you're a nice guy, but you also lost the bar money.
Right, okay.
Right, so
you just,
like,
want to keep the party rolling.
Yeah. I mean, like...
And there'll be casualties along the way sometimes.
It's horrible to say that, but as a performer, that's what you got to do. Because your job isn't to be the nicest person in the world. Your job is to make whatever establishment you're at money. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a bar, a comedy club, or the Madison Square Gardens. Yeah. If you know, like, a show happened tonight and 99% of the people come back for other shows, the bar's not going to care about the one.
Right, but do you think that maybe addressing it and treating her, or, like, I don't know, helping her back into the comedy show could help the people want to come back? It sounds uncomfortable.
But I think he tried to, but then couldn't get her back. Yeah. It was a lost cause at a point. Yeah,
he's he knows when to give up. Yeah. Right? Yeah,
it. I mean, like, yeah, you want to get them on your side. You want to get them in all the time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, right? But if you've lost someone like that, you kind of just have to go on.
Don't dwell.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, too, right, if it happens and it's not that extreme, you get them back. Right?
So is that why you think you don't address it, Gulliver? Because you think you just pull them back if you just keep them in the show?
Well, for one, I feel like if I don't have something like clever and funny enough to say, I'm not even going to try it. And I'm not just going to like try and, yeah, persecute them if it's not just like other people aren't going to like what I'm saying. But I also don't want to let that like show fear, because that will just like affect my confidence and then like other people don't like it. So if I don't have something to say, I'd rather just not say anything. And I mean, because in that situation, they said race thing. Like, she was like, how did it go? Like, she said race something, and he said, oh, you want to talk about race?
No, it was age. Yeah. Age. So she's making fun of him for being old. And again,
the and then he responded, so, oh, you want to talk about age?
Yeah. No, you want to talk about race.
Yeah. Race?
No, he said, hey, look, you want to talk about my age? How about we talk about your race?
Yes, there we go.
And then she just said nothing.
Yes.
And then after that, he wasn't, like, pushing, was he? Like, I thought he just...
He had one more neg.
There was a couple times when he was still talking to her. And, like...
He did address her. And he did kind of neg her one more time. He's like, it's not your fault. It's because I got in a fight with my Uber driver on the way here.
Yeah.
But that's a funny joke. Like, that's really funny.
Generic.
And yeah, other people in the audience were laughing as far as I was
observing. Yeah, I was laughing. I mean, I'm not too concentrated on what they're doing, but yeah, I was laughing. I thought it was funny, at least.
Yeah, I mean, if she got a... did she walk out, or, like...
No, she stayed through the whole thing.
But she just went on her phone and didn't respond to anything from her. He did her try
to... Not even her friend. Her friend was trying to, like, be like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah, Mick was sitting with them, so he had a little bit of insight in there. Yeah, it was just uncomfortable, and I was curious about how you handle as a comic. And I think the best thing, judging with the advice you guys have given, is to keep the show going.
Yeah.
The show must go on. And there'll be casualties along the way. And that's going to be... That's one of the problems with the comedy show.
Because I feel like if you stop and be like, oh, I went too far, then it's like you're admitting...
defeat. Yeah.
Right. Or admitting that you, like, caused a problem.
Or you weren't in control at every moment. Yeah.
Or just, like, admitting that it was an injustice. Mm. When, like, really his intention was not to be malicious.
Right.
It was just playful and for the intention to be an entertainer.
And I think audiences would rather you be an asshole than be weak. Would that make sense? Because when you're commanding an audience, they're expecting, you know, strength out of you. And there's people that have strength in being demure, and there's people that have strength in being, you know, a punchline, but there's different ways to do it.
And that, like, back to what I was saying about, like, honest moments, a buddy of mine, Ryan, and I, when we're doing shows together, he notices, like, when we interact with the crowd, they're not being mean or anything, just really honest moments. And in the moment, a lot, too, that's all they really are, right? I mean, like, I know Danbra, I know where he's from. He might have some predilection to something, but I don't think he's an asshole, and I don't think he actually would. He doesn't like brown people.
No.
But like, it's
he's a bold comedian.
He's a bold comedian, but he's strong, right? So he's done this enough times, I think, to move on, right? Like, and that's kind of your goal is either to keep them engaged or shut them down so they're not. Wrecking the show.
Yeah, she didn't disrupt the show after that.
Yeah.
She was done.
Yeah. Right? Like, sometimes it's best to just put someone in their place.
Final thoughts?
I mean, like I said, I shushed them and she looked at me and said, that's rude. And I don't, like, I'm sure, like, all the people on her blog might agree with her.
Yeah.
It's like, other than that,
What were their jobs again? She's not the one that works at the U of A, right? No one got to riff on her job, I don't think.
I don't remember. Yeah. I remember being at the beginning of the show, but I was ordering beer.
If you go to a place and you order food all the time, why would you let your friend order for you? That's fucking weird.
I don't know. Maybe you're just bored and you don't really care. So they're like,
just order something. No, I get it. Me. She's a fucking weirdo. We'll end with that. That girl's a weirdo. Fuck those people. As a comic, just steamroll these motherfuckers. Let them die in the trenches. Thank you all for listening for this very short uncut. And thank you guys for joining me. Do you want to plug anything?
Gulliver Twist, Facebook and Twitter.
Nicholas Blackshaw, Facebook. I'll probably add you. I harass people all the time online.
Yeah, I'll fill your news feed.
I think, coming up this week, I'll be at Black Dog, Empress, and O'Byrne, so you can catch me there.
These are all in Edmonton, Alberta, for anyone that's listening here. Do you have anything coming up, Mick?
I'll be Yuck Yucks a week from today. I've been pretty lazy about doing shows, but...
today is what day?
Thursday.
Thursday. Those will come out tomorrow, so...
yeah. So a week from Thursday, so... Whatever, the 29th.
You guys are very strong in promoting your dates. Catch us all at RalphCast.com. Please rate and review us on iTunes. And until next time, we remain podcasting.